This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 216. You get a car, and you get a car. That's it. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our lovely podcast. Did you have a nice week?
Are
you
rested? What's up?
Did anybody else get food poisoning? Because that was kind of rough.
Ninja did. It was brutal.
It was not fun.
It might make the Guinness Book of World Records really bad.
I wouldn't go there. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. But you know what I did have to at least keep me company?
Our website.
Exactly. So make sure that you're visiting us on the web at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That's ESH.co. The short address will bounce into the long one. Check out all the articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or even just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. If you aren't on iTunes and you're not subscribing to us there, then you should just do it.
Really? Because that way you can make sure that you get a brand spanking new episode of our podcast the moment that we put it out on the interwebs. So it'll be like hot freshness in your ear holes. And who doesn't want to start the week off that way? Not you, because you're a winner. And that's what winners do.
And if you don't want to be a winner, you can look us up on any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But also be looking out for the shows that come out of our camp, too.
That's right. We're not the only thing that exists in the Land of Esh. So make sure that after you grab a new episode of our podcast, and every single Monday, that you follow that up on Tuesday with a new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade, which just happens to be co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And on Wednesday, you can grab a new episode of the Geek Agro Podcast, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So bing, bang, da, boom, right there to the hump day. We've got you covered. And then for the rest of the week, well, there's all the stuff that we write on the websites and all of our respective websites in our network, as well as all the stuff that we do on Twitter and Facebook and Flickr and YouTube and whatever other social things exist out there in the world.
Ping!
Like ping, because we're totally on ping and we like things on ping. Did I mention that we're on ping? Because we are.
And don't think that we're the only shows. Who knows what might come up next?
That's right. Who knows?
And that's what he said.
What? Oh, jeez.
Yep, it's one of those days.
Oh, jeez.
It is
going to be that kind of podcast.
Yes, it is.
Okie dokie. Well, the last thing I've got to tell you about is to grab a copy of our magazine, the October episode.
We're not in Alan Wake.
No. The October issue is about to go on sale. It's getting close and it looks hot! So make sure that you cop the first issue, which you can do by visiting landofesh.com to check out some of the things that have been written by all of us here in the Land of Esh, including some folks that don't actually, you know, roll with the websites officially. So there's all kinds of nitty gritty, awesome stuff that's in there that you wouldn't get anyplace else. There's some fiction pieces in there. There's some shits of digs, which if you don't know about it, you better cop that so you can find out about
it. You better recognize.
It's awesome, but I'm just saying. So make sure that you get it, get that, and then, you know, you follow that up with getting the next one. You can get it in print in the U.S. You can get it both digitally and in print in the U.S., or you can just get the digitals, you know, if you want to, like, not, you know, kill trees. You can get it in the digitals.
I like to kill trees.
You're crazy like that, so that doesn't really surprise me.
I know.
But some people are all about the put-offs. Some people like the PDFs. So,
oh,
you know,
that's what you said. I was like, what?
You have a dirty damn mind.
I know!
All right, moving on. Make sure that you get your copy. And, you know, if you've got a friend, tell them to get their own copy or subscription to our magazine. Because it's hot! Cop that.
Just wait till the second one.
Seriously, like, get up on them. Like, ride it. Just a little.
Ride it like Sierra's video ride.
Oh my god, that video, like, almost made me gay. Like,
I know exactly what moment you're talking about, and me too.
Yeah. Alright, so with that, I guess we should probably get into the video game and tech gadget and anime stuff. because that's typically what we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah.
That's what we say we're going to talk about, so we probably ought to talk about that. Not
yeah,
necessarily.
You're kind right.
Kind of, sort of, almost going
okay.
Good. So, I will hand the mic of 1,000 Truths to you this week, because I know the last couple of weeks I've had a lot to talk about and been running my mouth.
Yeah.
Because I'm good at it, one.
And you're good with your mouth?
I can't believe you just said that, and I'm not exactly sure how I should respond to that, so I'm just going to keep moving on, and I'm going to let you take the mic of 1,000 Truths and kick off the episode.
Well, we know I am. Anyway,
wow.
I will gladly wow. start this ball of rolling.
My sister just admitted to being a whore on the
I
internet.
Did not say that. I just said I'm going with my mouth. I talk all the time.
Yeah.
I can eat mm-hmm. with it. I
yeah.
breathe with it.
Yeah.
And my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
The lungs
mm-hmm.
do most of that. But
yeah.
my mouth gives the air a place
Use
to go.
Use a hoe. Use a hoe.
I'm not a hoe.
How do you know? Because I told you so. Sorry.
I'm not a hoe.
Is this a song? It's
regardless.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So, I've really necessarily got two things to really talk about.
Ooh!
And, one
a twofer.
One shouldn't be a really big surprise. And the other one, yeah.
Oh, my God. Is it about Netflix or Amazon?
Yeah.
Oh, my God!
So, I did see recently that, they are now going to, pretty much let, Netflix stream in Canada.
Ooh! Hey, Canadians!
Yep.
Streaming Netflix! Woot woot!
Yep, I saw that happen. I saw some articles on that. I know that someone over on the B3 crew, Nenya, was up in Canada doing some training, and she had bought Netflix in hopes that she could stream up there, but it was right before they made this announcement, so she couldn't. So
it
was, she was kind of like, fuck, I went and bought Netflix, and I can't use it in Canada. Well, now you can! And Canadians can use it, too!
Huzzah! Equality for Canadians!
So I thought that, you know, that'd be a nice booster to the start of the show.
Oh, Netflix. Surprise, surprise.
What? I love Netflix.
I do.
Who does? Though I do have a confession about my Netflix that I'm not too
what,
proud
you're
of.
What, you're molesting it? Am I going to see you on, like, an SVU and you, like, rape your Netflix?
No. No, but I
Seriously,
I'm...
Seriously, because if you
No,
do,
I'm
you
not raping
now.
Netflix. My... I feel like I'm...
Are you molesting it? Are you being inappropriate with it?
I think I'm abusing Netflix.
Oh, my God. Do I have to call THS?
No. Not that kind of abuse.
Because if you
I'm not hitting it. I'm not smacking it and telling it to go make me a chicken sandwich.
Like, okay, so you're not...
Beating it.
Okay.
I'm not molesting it. I didn't put anything in it.
Except money. So you're treating it like a hooker.
Well, I guess. But my issue that I've noticed that I'm doing now is I have all these things in my instant queue, and I'm not watching any of them. I'm that kind of person who makes it look like I watch a lot of movies to make myself look educated and cultured, and I haven't watched half of them.
You're a fucking poser.
Well, no, because I'm watching some of them. I just haven't watched all the ones on my instant queue yet. And I'm always looking through to see what new ones I should put on there. And I'm like, ooh.
You're a poser.
I should totally watch A Girl with the, you know, the dragon tattoo. But I heard there was a very graphic scene in there that I don't know if it's something I should watch in the morning because that might make me seem kind of pervy. Or if I watch it at night, which would make me even look even more sketchy.
But so it's pervy, so why don't you just own it and just watch it?
Yeah, but I just don't know what time of day I should, you know, sit
like
down.
Like, perv out? Like, what's the appropriate time of day to be
like,
pervy?
Like, I always thought it was 2:15.
Is it before lunch or after lunch?
I always assumed it was after lunch because there's a good chance you'll fall asleep, so then the pervness won't happen until at night when no one's around. So I guess night would be the best.
About that.
You know,
with the freaks coming out at night, so
you know maybe nighttime's the best time for pervish reaction because
you
no
think
one's,
like
no
maybe
one's around, lights are off, no one's really listening.
Everyone's really listening.
Oh,
you just don't know that.
Well, they shouldn't listen because that's really rude.
You're such a skeevy.
But anyway, so
Pandalicious is pervilicious.
Whatever. So yay Canada! I thought that was you know great, and I actually. Like I said last week, was probably going to talk about an anime that I ordered on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'm finally going to talk about it this week.
Oh, jeez.
Because I've managed to watch
Hey, promises it. Kept, huh?
I know.
Promises kept.
I know, and I'm probably going to botch this name every time I go to say it.
Oh, Jesus.
But I was looking through the, you know, things I could get sent to me, and after Queen's Blade, I was like, all right, I should think a little bit more before just picking up any anime off
Queen's
Netflix.
Queen's Blade does really kind of make you go, you know, maybe Japanese animation is not the thing for me to be doing right now.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I looked and I looked, and a lot of the stuff that they had on there was stuff I already owned, and the stuff that I didn't own was the stuff that, you know, led me down that questionable path. So,
okay, so here's the thing, though. Reading synopsises, or synapses, synapses, on Netflix doesn't do you any good, because back in the day when I had Netflix, I read every single synopsis before I put anything in my queue for them to send me out, and I read this one thing for an anime that I thought, okay, this sounds pretty good because it's a detective type thing, and you know, I enjoy those ones because the story is typically more noirish. Demon City Shinjuku? No. Yeah, no. No, that's not about any kind of detective work whatsoever. Whatsoever. And so they made no mention of the fact that it's just rape, rape, rapety rape with a little bit of rape and some skeevy sex and then some more rape and then just a sprinklage.
Sex that looks like rape but actually was consensual.
It's just then a sprinklage of the supernatural, but then ends with
rape,
more rape, spiritual rape though.
Oh, because you know that's
because so, that's somehow better. So synopses don't mean shit on Netflix. Continue.
Anyway, so I read this synopses for this anime, and it seemed harmless enough. And like I had said in the last few episodes, after watching Queen's Blood, I could pretty much watch anything now, I think.
Like, and I would have watched Shugo Chara after watching Queen's Blade to make my soul feel a little bit
No, because then the whole Humpty Locked and Dumpty Key would have just perved me out even worse than...
See, that didn't perv me out.
He had the key, she had the lock.
Yeah, that didn't...
He was going to insert that and unlock. We don't even know what it was.
I didn't find that pervy, okay? Like, that wasn't pervy to me.
He was going to put his... And you don't think that's pervy?
He was going to put his key in her lock. And no, I don't find that pervy. What would have been pervy if they ever showed the key as being actually his penis? But it was an actual key! And she had an actual fucking lock!
Yeah, but it's symbolism.
Metaphorically. So, symbolism isn't pervy.
It can be.
Actuality is what's pervy. Okay, if he had, like, dropped trow and his penis was a key, and then she, like, lifted up her skirt and it was a lock, like, that would have been pervy. Because there's only one way that thing's getting unlocked. That would have been disgusting and pervy.
Bow-wow.
Okay, but symbolism, and then showing me a physical key that's golden, and a physical lock appearing.
I've watched so much anime that symbolism is just as pervy as actuality.
Really messed up because of anime.
You know, and I really feel that, like there's other things too. That
right, but I really feel like you should spend a week and watch like Sesame Street, but not when Katy Perry's on because
Tangent time. Did you have an issue with that?
No. Okay, so let's talk about this. Katy Perry is on Sesame Street doing a song with Elmo.
Hot and Cold, I thought.
Yeah, okay? And she's wearing a Katy Perry outfit. It's like this lime green dress that has like flesh-colored, you know, for white people, mesh at the top, and a cute like little hat thing.
Actually, it was like a veil. It was like a wedding
veil.
Right,
and she, you know, is all dolled up Katy Perry style, and it's really cute, okay? All of a sudden, a bunch of people like, oh my god, it's totally inappropriate. She's a whore. This, that, and the other thing.
Elmo's running around near her vagina.
Okay, and then they not only decide not to air the episode, but they banned Katy Perry from Sesame Street. It's not like she was humping Elmo.
I know, she was just running.
Okay, but she didn't do anything appropriate, and a bunch of parents are like...
Inappropriate.
Well, yeah, but they're like, a bunch of parents are like, oh, she's showing up with her cleave, and like, my kid got sexually aroused, and I'm like, okay,
why are you watching your kid get sexually aroused?
Time out, big time out. First of all, if you've got kids watching Sesame Street, they're what, between 3 and maybe 8? Because usually they lose interest around 8, and they move on to things like Ben 10 and Dragon Ball and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
So... if your 5-year-old gets sexually aroused, we must be talking about boys, because we sure as hell can't be talking about girls.
I mean, how else would you know unless they were DJ diddling in front of Sesame Street?
Exactly. And if your kid's DJ diddling in Sesame Street, you got all kinds of issues. Bad visual. Okay, but...
Oh, Elmo!
Stop
it. Tickle me.
But here's the thing. If you got a 5-year-old who's popping a Woody, like, you should seek medical attention.
Wait, we can't go over that, because little boys, even young boys, really young boys, do experience erections when they're young.
Right, and so that should mean that you should go to a doctor and talk to your doctor about what's going on with your kid and your kid's body. Not call Sesame Street and be like, you're putting whores on Sesame Street. Get them off. My kid's getting aroused.
I mean, a five-year-old would get aroused just hanging out.
This is what I'm saying. Don't blame Katy Perry
for your kid's erection, unless he's like 12 and he's masturbating to a poster of her.
Then you can kind of sort of blame Katy Perry.
But then you blame your son because
he
bought
really
the poster.
You should blame yourself for giving your kid the allowance to buy the Katy Perry poster and not realizing
he was
going
to jerk off
buying
to it.
Is that
he was going to fap.
He was going to
fap.
Use it.
Fap.
Okay.
I like sound effects.
And I have to come out and say, I'm not a big Katy Perry supporter. Like, I don't really like her music.
Okay, and you're...
I don't really like her sound, but I think it's complete bullshit that she's been banned from Sesame Street.
Yeah, I don't get that.
That's stupid. Okay, like, Jeffrey Dahmer, I would understand if you had on Sesame Street and they're like, oh, this all came out, we need to ban him, he can never be on Sesame Street again. That makes sense. It's Katy Perry.
I mean, this lady who's talking about the whole, you know, my kid getting sexually aroused thing, every time he gets aroused at something, she's going to want to take it away, and then he's just going to go and lop off, like, 15 blondes' heads because he's going to be repressed. So you know what?
People,
leave your kid alone.
Be responsible. Kids don't know what the hell cleavage is at 5.
And if they do, then they're very smart.
The only thing they know about titties is if you breastfed them, that's where breakfast comes from.
I mean,
they're not thinking about... They're not thinking about... Ooh, I want to tap that.
I don't even think they would understand what we meant
especially
by tap.
Especially if they're watching Sesame Street.
They would probably just hit it.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. They misconstrue the word. Or the meaning that we're in.
So, like, seriously, people, get over yourselves. Just be actual active parents and stop, like, throwing everything else that your kids are doing and seeing and listening as the reason that they're getting aroused or not listening or killing people.
I mean, look at me. When I was young, apparently I was watching Playboy in the living room and was very, very quiet. And finally my parents realized something was wrong. And then they went and they got rid of Playboy. They didn't punish me for it. They just got rid of whatever it was that I was finding very, you know, entertaining.
But that's why you have fetishes things now. But, I mean, it explains so much. But you didn't go crazy or kill anybody.
Or go on a fuck spree.
Okay? And it wasn't like they called up, you know, the cable company. It was like, we need to ban this channel from existence.
Yeah, okay. Because our parents would have been like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. But anyway.
Regardless, I'm okay.
Pretty much.
Anyway,
so
now we're done with the tangent. So back on to what I was
talking about. All right, so back to
the
Gagan anime, which I don't think you
even
have, like, mentioned
what its
name yet.
I haven't.
We should probably get to that.
And I'm going to butcher this.
Come on.
It's
you've been practicing.
I know, and I'm going to butcher it because I haven't been practicing up until we started.
Come on.
Nope, it's gone.
Abenabashi.
Abenabashi Magical Shopping Arcade. I'm just going to call it Aben. Aben Shopping Mystical Arcade. And they change the title every episode, which I actually kind of like the randomness on that. So here's the synopsis. I've only watched 8 episodes, so I haven't watched the entire series yet.
I have.
And I'm hoping to get more of it in the mail. I did subscribe to get them all sent to me, so I will end up watching all of it. But the premise is we've got these two childhood friends who pretty much were born and raised in the Abenabashi Shopping Arcade. And apparently everyone who's, like, lived in this area kind of, you know, grew up with it. So they're all kind of like townies. Like Boston people, you know, they're all like, oh, we're townies, da-da-da-da. You know, like, everyone's got that kind of thing going on in their state or their city or whatever. When you're an outsider, oh, you're an outsider, you're not one of us, da-da-da-da-da.
Locals only.
Exactly. And that's what these, you know, and they've lived there their whole lives. I think they're only, what, like... I think they're right before middle school.
Yeah, the way that they set it up is that...
I think they're about to hit middle
they're
school.
They're about to hit middle school-ish. So that's about the age that they look like.
Yeah, and they actually did really good on not making them look older than what they were.
But shopping arcades are in their waning days.
Yeah. So anyway, these two best friends, Sashi and Army. Army's a girl, by the way, and Sashi's a boy. They've pretty much lived, you know, they've been best friends forever. And it's really kind of weird to have a, you know, boy and girl be friends all this time. And yes, that plays into it later.
Mm.
Really? I wouldn't
anime?
Have guessed.
No.
But anyway, Sashi's family runs this turtle bath at the North side of the shopping arcade. And Army, her family runs a restaurant called The Pelican that's to the south. And believe it or not, they did try to go and use some Japanese folklore in the anime. And they used the cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west, with their attributing, what do they call them, like gods. Which is a reference, if you know your anime, happens in a lot of them. Like, oh, I don't know, Fushigi-Yugi.
Oh, just like a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Like, all the time!
Yeah, like, that's my favorite anime, and I'm so glad that they referenced that. But apparently, when you have a representation of any of these four gods in the proper direction, it will maximize the amount of chi in that area. Chi is very important, people.
Don't mess with your chi.
Don't mess with it. So it's really kind of funny that, you know, Sashi is on the north and he's the turtle, which is Genbu. And, you know, Army has the pelican, which was a bird, which is Suzaku to the south. You've got a dragon and a white tiger, you know, on the east and west sides, just so that you know. I might have those reversed right now. I don't remember exactly which ones.
That's why you gotta do notes.
I'm trying to remember because it's Byaku and Seryu. Seryu is to the west, so Byaku is to the east. There we go. See? Shigeyugi did it again. Anyway.
Keys to life. All of its mysteries. Fushigi-Yugi.
And 42.
And 42.
Anyway, that's Army's family, you know, have, you know, a lot of the shops that are in the area have been closing down. Like I said, the shopping arcade is slowly, you know, dwindling. And the last, you know, store to be open was the Pelican, Army's family's restaurant. And Army's family has decided that they want to move. They sold their property, they're selling the Pelican restaurant, and they're going to move to Hokkaido and be a part of, like, some hotel chain that does French cuisine, because her grandfather and her father both went and became French chefs.
Yes.
So, you know, and she's kind of, you know, she's very mature for her age, and she's just like, life's the way it is. As long as you've got your health in your mind, you know, you're good to go. You can never go wrong. And Sashi's very immature for a boy. You know, it's kind of whiny, talks about farts a lot, which
yeah.
I was a little disturbed.
Evidently,
at.
That's how he we're thought seen. That,
that's
if
how,
you're boyish, you talk about farts.
Yeah, you were just like, man, I can't wait to go home and just fart all day long. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but yeah, exactly. I don't come home from a hard day's work and just let them rip. Like, I don't know how
like that...
That'd
be hilarious if you did.
That would not be hilarious at
it
all.
It would,
because
I would be recording that shit, and it would be Pandalicious, the remix.
Ew. Regardless, so he's kind of immature.
Logic.
He's kind of immature, and he really doesn't like the idea that Army is so okay with just leaving after everything that they've been through, which is really kind of weird because this places a lot of the emotional investment on the boy, which, if we all know in anime, usually the girls are big emotional saps.
Yeah.
So I liked the switch up here. I really did. It made it feel more realistic because there are some guys out there that would feel this type of emotional attachment to their childhood friend who would grow into boobs one day.
Mm.
And anyway, so they're out and they're out trying to enjoy the last bits of the time that they have together, and something really weird happens.
No.
Yeah. Like they kind of, I think they're like sleeping and all of a sudden they're in this world that looks really flat, like 2D, and then there's this magical door with a rainbow on it, which actually brings them back to, you know, Abenoyashi.
Abenobashi.
I'm sorry. And they're rushing back, you know, back towards the Pelican. And as they're running back, they see Army's grandfather, who's up near the sacred statue of the Pelican, which is a, you know, bird. Granted, Suzaku was a red bird, but I'm not going to, you know, be, you know.
Let's just keep it moving.
I'm going to let that go. And he's trying to get this fat cat off the, you know, the guardian statue. And what happens is he falls. And what we see in the first episode is we see him fall, but we see that the pelican statue breaks, and you see him dangling off of I think it's like an air conditioner, and he's severely hurt. You know, and all of a sudden, Army and Sashi end up in these parallel versions of the shopping arcade. And each episode pretty much denotes the kind of world that they're going to be in.
Right.
Like, the first one was kind of magical, so, like, it was like a medieval, you know, dragons, armor, you know.
Fantasy.
You know, like an RPG, a medieval RPG kind of world. And believe it or not, all these worlds that they're traveling to, at least in the first few episodes, all seem to mirror really deep interests of Sashi's. And none of them seem to be convenient to Army at all. And she really just wants to go home. Like, she just wants to go home. And, you know, there are these gremlins or goblins that are in each world. And when you defeat them, they'll grant you a wish. So when they defeat the first one, they pretty much say that they want to go home. But in each episode, they always end up in a different version of the world. And, you know, you're trying to figure out, why is it that they can't get home? You know, and it's not that they're not defeating the goblin, and it's not that, you know, they're not doing everything right, but you have to be thinking about the exact same place. The mind has a, you know, has a powerful, you know, aspect to the chant that lets you go home. And Sashi wasn't thinking about their home, because deep down in his little Sashi heart...
Well, he's scatterblinged. Like, for one, he can't
at first
focus.
He just wants to have fun. But then, you know, later on, I think in one of the episodes, where it was kind of like a seedy Chicago gangster world, which I actually think that was probably my favorite episode, you know, where you actually kind of saw, you know, Sashi really thinking about what Army thought of him as a guy, as opposed to just, you know, her friend. And I think in that world, he got shot this bullet that made him a comedic relief character, which made him with gimpy legs and made him tiny and super SD. If you're an anime person, you know what I mean by SD.
Super deformed.
Yeah. And it was just like, she's not going to take me seriously now, you know, and she actually looked a lot more mature in the episode, and he's just kind of looking at her the way that a man would look at a woman, as opposed to a friend would look at a friend. So you realize that there's some, you know, deep rooted affections that he's now
sexual
coming to...
Sexual attraction.
I actually don't even know if it's sex... Well, yeah, because... Every time he sees boot, yeah, you're right. Anyway.
Yeah.
But he's starting to see Army as a woman, and Army's really not even... She's not even thinking about it. It's the last thing on her mind. In fact, it's probably not even on her mind at all in the first arc of the series. Like I said, I haven't watched all of it yet, so I don't know. But, I mean, each world is uniquely different. There was a mecha episode. There was the gangsta episode. There was the medieval episode. Then there was the dating sim episode. You know, that one is where you finally, you know, Army really kind of had it. Because apparently in these universes, if your fates are not linked in the universe that you're in, you become a goblin. Which is why in the dating sim universe, she had a horn on her head. And she was the goblin that he had to defeat, but, you know, you don't get that later on. But they do describe that, I think, in, like, episode 7. So now you have a better idea of what's going on. And apparently, Sashi's got some potentials that would allow him to redesign people's fates. So, I mean, this series is very, it's very lighthearted, but there's these undertones of seriousness that, you know, you do have to take into account. And, I mean, at first when I picked it up, I really wasn't expecting it. I was actually expecting this to be on the same level as Excel Saga, which really was very random, very chaotic, and all of a sudden, near the very end, they decided they wanted to have a story. And in, like, the last, like, 4 episodes, you figured out that there was a plot to all the madness. And I think you get the plot earlier on in this, so it doesn't compare to Excel Saga in that manifest, but I mean, in terms of randomness, panning shots, fan service, references to other animes and other genres altogether, which they do a great job at doing, I think, in this, this is really entertaining. I really liked it. I mean, I actually think I might end up buying the series from this borrowing from Netflix. I've been watching it in English, and I think Lucy Christian is in it. I believe that, I think that's really one of the only voice actresses I can recall off of it. Oh, not the woman who did Ash from Thing, because I don't think she speaks anymore. But there's a female voice actress who's really good. She does a lot of ADV stuff, and she tends to do a lot of boys. She doesn't tend to do a lot of females when she's doing work. She actually plays Sashi, so, I mean, believe it or not, the two leads are done by women, which I think is really kind of funny. So they had a woman talking about
it. It takes
parts.
A woman to play a young boy.
It really does.
A young Japanese boy.
So, buy, rent, and suck it as a gift. Definitely rent it. After the rent, I'm probably going to buy it. And if someone wants to give it to you, well, all by means, take it. Like, I have nothing negative to say about the series at all. I felt it was a breath of fresh air, really.
Especially after Queen's Blade.
Especially!
Because no woman should ever shoot acid
from
out
her
of
boobies!
Her You don't.
Because you're going to scare babies. Because babies are never going to want to suckle again.
You'll scare babies. You're going to scar people. And people
No, that acid only ever tore away at clothing. So we'll just have people naked all the time.
How do you... you know what?
I don't get it. No, but it did. It ate through her clothing, but it never, like, ate through her skin.
I don't get it.
The acid was selective. You know, selective acid. Selective.
Anime. It's special. So is that all you got for the people?
That's really all I have for you guys. I mean, I don't think... I haven't played anything else, really, since that. And I did watch that. But, yeah, that's about it. Oh, and I got a new car. Okay, so that's all I got. So Ninja, what do you got?
I got some video game stuff. I got a couple of things that I think are really neat. So I'm gonna talk about it. And yes, I use the word neat. Suck it if you don't like it. I like that word. It's neat. So I talked a little bit a while ago about a game coming out, or getting ready to come out, I should say, from Namco Bandai.
Bandai Namco.
Yeah, I can never remember.
I don't know which way they do it.
Like, one week it's like Bandai Namco, and then for like anime stuff.
Namco.
And then next week it's like Namco.
Banco Nam.
Mm-hmm. Banco. Anyway, from Namco Bandai Games, called Enslave Odyssey to the West.
All right, yeah, I watched you play it.
Yeah, yeah, and the demo became available first on the PS3, and then later on this week. For the Xbox 360.
Why do they wait a week in between? Why don't they release them both at the same time?
Because, you know, it depends on exclusivity deals.
You've got rights to it first, so you get it for a week before they...
Right. You know, those kinds of things. And so it was exclusive on the PS3, and then it was no longer exclusive, because then it was on the Xbox 360. Yay! So even though I have access to both systems, I downloaded it on my Xbox 360, mostly because I wanted an excuse to turn on my Xbox 360, because I haven't actually...
I know, after you went and got your brand new black sweet sexy one.
Yeah, I know, I got sweet sexy, and I just haven't had opportunity to really enjoy sweet sexy, because it's been kind of chaotic this week.
No shit.
Like, just a skosh.
What is with you and the word skosh?
I like the word skosh.
Know what words I like?
I know what words you like, so let's continue on, because this is my turn. So, I downloaded the demo, which took forever on a network connection, because it was over a gig. And I knew that the download was going to be a good size download, because just in looking at some of the screens for the game earlier that I've been taking a look at, it really seemed like it was going to be a very lush environment. It kind of seemed to me like they were going to definitely go after the graphic styling and detail of a Uncharted 2. You know, it really seemed like they were trying to make these lush, deep environments that would be somewhat reactive, that you would want to explore and, you know, keep it a little... open boxy without being a true open box deal.
I don't know exactly if I'd agree with that exactly. I mean this is a demo for one, so they haven't worked out everything. But I mean,
right, and
looking at it, you could definitely tell what you could climb onto and what you couldn't.
Right, and you gotta, you know, and that entire first piece, you know, the demo itself is actually the intro level of the game, so it is the, in fact, walkthrough of how to learn the controls, which we all know the walkthrough level is usually not one that they put a lot of emphasis on, because you're learning, there's really not a lot that you should be paying attention to. But, you know, it reminded me immediately, especially as far as the QuickTime things were going, of the start of Uncharted.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And as, you know, you look at some of the screens of the game, you know, as you get deeper into the game, it really does not seem like they force you into a certain path. So I'm not saying that it's an open world game or open box game. I'm saying that they definitely seem to be going after the Uncharted 2 vein of
action. Well, I don't see why they wouldn't. They haven't done it, you know, they didn't do it sooner, because that was a gold mine.
Yeah, yeah, Uncharted 2 is phenomenal. So it makes sense to me that they go after it. But Odyssey, you know, Enslaved to me, to start off with, it's not a story that we don't already know. It's been told.
Dragon Ball Z.
They've borrowed.
Dragon. I'm done.
Are you all set now?
Yeah.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Are you good to go?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Sayuki.
Okay.
Sayuki.
You got any more for the people? Are you sure? Nope. You're all good now.
Yep.
Okay. So, the story has two main characters.
Really?
Sorry. Okay. So, as you start the game, you see the lead character, Monkey. And Monkey is pissed off.
Because is he flinging poo?
No, he's not flinging poo.
Well, that's how you know when they're angry.
Yeah.
And when they want to have fun.
And that you're dealing with a monkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't even have a tail.
He did have a tail.
No, that was just a sash thing on his hip.
No, if you actually look, like, the piece that you saw was with him turning, so it went over there, but he actually does have a tail. It, like, sits there, and it flops when he's, like, running and jumping.
When he's running and jumping, it flops.
Yeah, that's what I
said. Sounds like something else that...
All right, moving right along.
What? They're all thinking it, too.
Well,
we know you are.
Attention to it. We don't want to, you know...
I pay attention to it.
Oh, my jeez, Louise. Anyway, so they start off the game, and Monkey has been captured. And he's in, like, this egg. And it was really funny, because looking at the egg pod thing, like, for one reason or another, I immediately flashed, like, a Dr. Robotnik from, like, Sonic.
Oh, my God, he's captured all the animals.
You know, and he's, like, captured Monkey. So I, like, had this, like... kind of, whoa. Like, that's like a gamer deja vu.
Yeah,
flashback.
But it would have only made sense if a blue hedgehog had rolled up and ran
that would have been funny if there was like an homage and you just saw a little hedgehog go running by real quick. But he's trapped, and there's another person that's trapped in an egg, but you see her get out, and you see it through Monkey's vision of he's seeing this chick get out, and she's like a pipsqueak. He doesn't know who it is yet, but he's beating and he's yelling on the egg for her to let him out. And she stops and she looks at him, and then it's like a douche runs off.
What?
So Monkey gets pissed.
See you next Tuesday.
Okay, so Monkey gets pissed, and then
he's pissed in an egg.
Ooh,
he's pissed in the egg. Ooh, that just sounds gross. Never mind.
There's a guy through that's going on that's explaining to them. People who are trapped in these eggs, that if they have to relieve themselves or anything like that, they can do that. It's kind of weird that you bring that up.
So he's upset in the egg, and he can pee in the egg.
But he doesn't pee in the egg. He's just
upset.
He's upset in the egg.
Woo! He's upset in the egg, yeah.
So, in trying to escape, the girl who's running off ends up starting a explosion. That
a Michael Bay explosion?
Actually, it was like explosions. And as a result, Monkey's egg gets knocked over,
and it hatches, and Monkey is born.
Sorry. So anyway, he jumps out of the egg, and he's pissed off, and you kind of hear him grumble underneath his, you know,
grumble
voice
grumble.
A little bit. And he starts taking off. And so it starts running you through how to jump, how to attack, what to look for as far as, you know, jumping points and things that you can grapple on and things like that. And you start progressing through these hallways, chasing after this girl.
It's always about abroad.
So you're running down these hallways, and you end up getting to a point where you have to face some enemies, and you have no weapons. So you climb a pole, and you reach a...
So you climb up a shaft, and there's a dude, and the dude's like, hey, you're kind of like, where's my shit? And he's like, I kind of can't tell you. And it's like, I'm going to kick your ass. And he tells him, and then magical ponies show up. And,
there are no magical ponies. What is it with you and magical ponies? You have, like, this fetish, and I'm really worried about you. First of all, there are no such thing as magical ponies.
Yes, there are magical ponies.
No, they don't exist. And guess what? Neither does Santa. Let's move on. Okay, piddled on my part of the parade.
Then who have I been letting in the house on Christmas Eve?
Some skeevy perv.
But he's always wearing a red suit and has a bag.
Yeah, I'm sure he has a sack ready for you. Anyway, as
that
I'm talking
is
about,
nasty.
You brought it up. So anyway, as I was saying, Monkey then has to learn how to climb down poles and things like that to get his gear, and he finally does.
He works that pole, by the way.
Oh my Jesus! So he has a big staff.
Yep, he does.
That he uses to fight. Stop it. I swear. So
fuck.
He
I swear before you.
So he gets his stuff back, and you now have the ability to upgrade the staff, although you don't really get to do that yet in the demo.
You don't get to extend it, its range,
no.
And its abilities.
No, you don't. Not in the demo.
And its projectiles.
No, not in the demo.
All right, then.
But you end up learning how to fight some of the different mechs. What was really interesting to me was that the environment for the size of the demo, like, I really expected it to look a little more polished, but there's a lot going on. The camera is super, super sensitive. Okay, so I'm going to warn you that now. Like, there are a few times, especially during some of the QuickTime events, the QTEs that were going on, that the camera really was a hindrance because I was flinging it one way, expecting it to go that way, and it didn't. Watch it. And I saw that look. And
I
didn't have to say
anything.
A damn thing. I saw the look.
I didn't say
But there were definitely a few times where, because of the sensitivity of the camera, it really kept me from getting monkey to the platform that I needed to. Like, I literally got to where I needed to in the demo with, like, a second to spare before I was gonna die. And I was having heart palpitations because I'm like, no, it's not because I don't know where to go. It's because, like, you won't go where I'm telling you to go. Go this way, damn you. Go this way. You know, so I don't know if that's gonna be a
factor in the game.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful that it's not, that you will be able to tweak the sensitivity of the camera or, you know, tell it whether or not you want it to be inverted or whatnot, because it's a huge piece of the mechanic that could take a game that really is trying to tell a very deep story. Like, I got that right from the demo. Like, the way that they set things up, they are very much in an Ico fashion, tying two people reluctantly together, because there will be missions where
he's got to kiss the girl.
No, he doesn't.
He's got to kiss the girl.
This is not a Disney movie. From just the way that Monkey cusses, you can tell this is not a kid's movie.
He's got to keep one jump ahead of that hitman.
Oh my! You know what? I'm gonna put
and
you
it's
on
a whole
timeout.
New world.
I'm gonna put you really on timeout. I'm gonna make you go sit in the corner and put on the dunce cap. Do you want to put on the hat? Do you want to?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Don't make me do that. Make you go sit over there with Esh Mom.
Who's this girl I see staring back
Watch
at me?
It. I'm about to do it.
I'll make a man out of you.
Stop it! Do not. So, the game comes out on October 5th. It will be available on the PS3 and on the Xbox 360. I'd kind of like to see what the graphics look like on the PS3 to see if there's any difference majorly between the PS3 graphics and the Xbox 360. Because taking a look and remembering the screens that I brought up before looking at the game, the demo on the Xbox 360 did not look as good as the screens that I've seen earlier. So I'm wondering if those screens are from the PS3 and if that makes a difference. Because the graphics, although very, very pleasing, seemed really sharp and seemed a little jagged.
Yes.
And again, this is a demo, so there's a lot of polishing that can happen between now
and
October 5th. But to me, it just seemed like it's not necessarily anything I hadn't seen before. But I'm curious about the story.
Well, yeah, well, because, I mean, even though it's you know, lending a lot of, it's, you know, basis on a folklore, you know, there was no mechanics at the time that the folklore went out. I mean, it was kind of primitive back then, so, I mean, there was no mecha or robots or flying.
But what's really surprising to me is that even though this is a game that's done by Namco, it's definitely set in the U.S., because in part of running through the demo, you are on a plane, and you end up outside, and you watch as the wing, like, clips the top of the Statue of Liberty.
Which doesn't make sense, because that stupid DB of a chick you see, you...
Douchebag? You can't say douchebag? You can say fuck, but you can't say douchebag? You gotta say DB?
Yeah, it's classy.
There's something wrong with you. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
But anyway, so, I mean, she ties into this a lot deeper, obviously, and, you know, she kind of makes an offer that he can't refuse
right.
to assist her. And she's like, yeah. She's like, my home is like 300 miles from here, I think. Was 300 or 3,000?
Something like that.
It's either 300 or 3,000. Well, we'll say 3,000 because it sounds longer. So she's pretty much like, if you help me live, I help you live. I get home, then you can do whatever the fuck you want. He's like, well, I don't really have much of a choice. And, you know, he goes off to his sister, and I'm just like, all right, so if we're in New York at the time that this thing crashes, and we're going 3,000 miles to the west.
We going to Cali. We going to Cali.
And she said something about the wind. And last time, well, there is wind in California.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not the windy city.
No, that's Chicago.
Which is less than, well, would that be 3,000?
I don't know. Look, do I look like a geography teacher to you?
No. But if a bus was leaving Boston.
No. No. We're not doing that. Not again. Not again.
Okay. Not and a plane was going in the opposite direction.
I really think if you've got either of the systems, you would do yourself a favor, especially if you've got the space on your hard drive, to download the demo, because playing the demo for yourself will really give you a great look at the game and a good idea of whether or not it's something for you. As for me, it's probably going to be a buy. And the reason why, personally, for me, it's going to be a buy is that I want to know the story. I want to know how it's going to end. Like, I loved Sayuki.
It's like Sayuki, Dragon Ball, and Final Fantasy X.
But action-wise, not turn-based.
Oh, and Uncharted 2. But so Final Fantasy X, Uncharted 2, Sayuki, and Dragon Ball, minus the balls, were at a cocktail party, they were having a great time, and then the lights went out and they played Guess Who's Touching Who. They'd all be touching each other and it'd be great.
That's not even a game I know about. But
that's a fun game.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, for me personally, it's a buy. What I would say publicly is it's absolutely worth a rent, for sure. For sure. And if you've got a system and you like action games, it definitely wouldn't suck as a gift. But I would say that it's a rental. I would say that it's a rental. Just
a
off
strong
the
strong rental.
Yeah, definitely a strong rental. You would be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't at least try this game. Because I think that it has potential to be really enjoyable. As long as those mechanics are worked out, it'll be a really strong game and a great one to kind of lead off your holiday game lust.
Okay.
Bo-sheezy.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only other thing that I have really that, you know, kind of piqued my interest is that, you know, there should be some awareness going on about the Schwarzenegger vote that's going on in California.
The vote for, the whole gaming thing.
Yeah, that
right,
whole gaming
thing. I heard about in California.
You know,
the banning of video games because they're violent and they make kids stab people.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I just want to cry bullshit on that.
I know. I want to stab people and I haven't played video games all week.
Yes, but that's because you've been dealing with douchebags. I'm sorry, DBs.
Actually, I haven't dealt with any DBs.
You're so full of caca. Anyway, video games do not make people violent. Video games do not make people kill people.
Guns don't kill people. My cousin does.
We don't have a cousin that kills people.
No, that was just
stop it. Just stop it. You're just digging a
hole. It was funny. It's from Pablo Francisco. Jesus saves because he shops at Walmart. You guys have all heard it. And I gave credit to who said it. I ain't trying to copyright nothing.
Oh.
Go
Lordy.
On.
Lordy. Lordy. See, this is what I gotta deal with every week.
This is what happens when you come home.
Yeah. Boy, oh. Anyway. It's bullshit. Video games don't make people violent. Video games don't make people kill people. Whatever is going on in their lives and in their heads and with them on a personal level is what makes people freak the fuck out and kill people. So stop trying to censor my video games. I'm an adult, damn it. If I want to play a video game where I get to slash things in half and blow things up, that's what I should be able to do, because I'm an adult and can make those decisions.
You won't let us do it in reality, so you might as well let us do it where it's not hurting anybody for real.
Okay. Kind of, sort of what she said. It's bullshit. So make sure that you're getting active in your community, because gamers, we're the only ones that can protect ourselves. And make sure that you're making your voice heard. If you don't want to be censored, you don't want your game censored, and you don't want to have to pay PG-13 only game, because let's face it, I'm not going to be a gamer anymore if all I can play is the Ben 10 Alien Force games. Okay?
Like, you with me? Like, for realsies? Let's just be adult about it. Let's get a solid rating system that everybody can agree is actually useful. And let's move the fuck on. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye. So, with that, I'm going to have to remind you guys that you got to visit us on our website. We want to hear what you have to think. Make sure that you drop us emails because we like getting them. So, you can visit us at www.electricsisterhood.com or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That's ESH.co. The short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out all the articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, then just do it.
Subscribe, because that will make sure that you get every single episode of our podcast available to you in its entirety with no
ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, yeah, edits, cutouts, or shortness of breath. Fresh in your ear the moment that we put it out on the interwebs. So make sure that you do that, because otherwise, you're punk-ass bitch.
I'm so glad that you use it, because I know I haven't used it in forever. I need to come up with a new catchphrase.
Or just use your existing one. Anyway.
Oh. I just had a mind fart. That happens. It happens here in Land of Esh. All right, well, if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But be looking out for the great shows that come out of the camp, too.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. So while you're listening to a new episode of our podcast on Monday, you can follow up your podcast lust sensationalistic, whatever the hell you want to call it, on Tuesday with a new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which is happens to be co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And then on Wednesday, there's a new episode of the Geek Agro podcast, which, guess what? Co-hosted by one of our faves, Deuces Wild. So we've got your podcast need satiated by hump day, but then helping you out for the rest of the week are all the things that we write on our website and respective websites, which you can find neatly all in one place at www.landofesh.com. As well as following us on Twitter, Facebook, like us, Land of Esh. We like the likes. We're so close to having enough people that we can get our own custom domain name. So tell your friends, like us on Facebook. We'll talk to you. I swears it. You can also catch up with some of the pictures that we're taking from different events that we go to, or just random pictures that we put up from time to time on our Flickr page. They're the things that we do on YouTube, so you can search us out there. We're all up in your internets, people. And we're in front of your eyeballs, too. Not just on the website. We've got a magazine that you should absolutely make sure that you're keeping up to date with. Issue 1, already on sale, but issue 2 is getting ready to drop, and it's going to be awesome. So make sure that you grab all that stuff, the information and everything, landofesh.com. It should be the first place you go when you think about the internets. We should be bigger than Google's.
Well, you should start off with us. Maybe look at some recipes.
Are good. I like food.
And, you know, internet wouldn't run without any porn, so you would have to do your...
We're not telling anybody to not do their prawns.
Yep, check your prawns, but always start with us and end with us.
And don't check your prawns while you're on the job.
Yeah, or when your mom's in the room.
Yeah, that's just nasty. That's just nasty. So do you have any shit that you dig this week, Pandalicious?
My car.
Well, yeah.
Statham, he is hot and sexy. He's the new man in my life. He takes me where I want to go as long as I feed him. He doesn't bitch at me if I don't look really nice. I mean, he does ask me for money a lot, but that's just, you know, because he needs the money to get me places. I work for him.
He's trying to take care of you.
Yeah, he is. And so far, this is like day 2. He's done a great job. And, is there anything else that I dig? Pepperoni pizza, because it's delicious in my mouth hole. That's it.
That's all you got?
Yep.
Okay.
What about you? Pumpkin diddles.
I do dig pumpkin diddles, because that's what I nicknamed my new car, and she's awesome. And
Oprah gave us cars, guys.
Oprah did not give us cars.
I looked underneath my chair, and there he was.
You did not. Don't be lying.
In my dream, that's how it happened.
I wish Oprah gave me a car.
I know.
I wish Oprah knew my name.
I know.
Like, I'm not even, like, joking. I would be okay
in life if, like, Oprah Winfrey just knew my name. Like, if somebody sent me a video of Oprah Winfrey just saying my name on her show, I would be like, squee! I'm not even lying. I admit it. I watch Oprah. Whatever.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I Pumpkin Diddles definitely is high up on my list. I would also go with Crunchyroll as Shit I Dig, because it's like Netflix, but specifically just for anime. So I don't have to do that other bull crap. I can just stream and watch the animes all that I want. And I can do it for free if I don't want to see the episodes.
I can do it here, I can do it there, I can do it just about anywhere.
So crunchyroll.com, if you don't know about it, you should check it out, because I absolutely love it. It's shit that I dig. And I think the only other thing that I want to say that I dig is cornbread. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out of here, people.
See you guys next week.
Peace.
You know us, we're unpredictable, and our show ran a little short this week. So here's a little bonus bit from the cutting room floor on episode 207.
Okay, you know what I really want? I don't know how this would work. I don't know, like, how much money would have to, you know, grease people's palms, or, you know, like how many or whose dick would have to get sucked for this to happen.
These nuts.
But I would love, like, just the master of all brouhahas. Like, I would love a game where you could literally pick and choose your characters from every fighting game that ever existed and just, like, have a melee brawl online. You know, like Super Street Fighter versus DOA versus Tekken versus Mortal Kombat versus Virtua Fighter versus Toshinden versus Marvel versus Capcom versus just every one of them.
How about SNK?
Oh, don't even get me started with the Tatsunoko things. Of course, all of the Tatsunoko shit. All of it. I just want every fighting character available. You know, like, I would have to pay for, like, a block. I would, like, have to pay for, like, a block of chicks from Mortal Kombat, or a block of chicks from, you know, whatever, or do, like, an ad hoc thing where I pick this character, and, like, build up my own team and then be able to take them into an arena and face your team.
Yeah, well, you know.
Because my team would have, like,
professional fighting, you know, professional gamers of the fighting circuit construct teams, you know, due to their fighting style and weaknesses. You know, they kind of do that already in the professional gaming circuit thing.
I know, but I want all the characters available from every fighting game. Like, that would be the holy grail for me.
Yeah, but then they'd have to include Toshinden.
Well, yeah!
Thundering.
I mean, come on. That's a given. I said every fighting game. Okay, I mean, like, you could even stretch this out. And you could
hit all the Mario fighting games.
Seriously, you could. Like, you could go back and get the Dragon.
But then the Dissidias from Final Fantasy would have to be thrown in there, too, if you're going to loosely base fighting into
a weird concept. I could do that, though, because after seeing the machinimas of the Dead or Alive chicks against the Final Fantasy chicks, I could see that. Which okay. Is that completed yet?
What? The Dead Space? I mean, Dead Fantasy? I don't know if it's been fully completed yet.
I have to echo that. So that's you know, in my heart of hearts, what I have happening. Because in my heart of hearts, I really, really would like to see Cammy just totally, totally get her ass beat by Pi from Virtua Fighter. I don't know why, but I really want Pi to beat up on Cammy.
Okay.
I feel good about that.
And don't forget all the Soul Calibur people, too.
Oh, my God. Soul Calibur. Of course. See? So now I get to have Talim kick Cammy's ass. I basically just don't like Cammy. That's what I'm saying.
Why?
I hate Cammy. Cammy's
Why do you hate Cammy?
Cammy's a bitch. All right, so move
Why? On. You have to have a personal reason other than...
I'll tell you when we're done with the show.
Because she's skinny and sexy and has long hair.
No. Is it that Pi has long hair?
Is it because
why do we have sex? I don't want to discuss. You're not my therapist. We don't have to have this discussion right now. All I'm saying is, Cammy's a bitch.